Vertical farming was a concept. It was really not what it is today. Vertical farming now is the fastest growing industry in agriculture, but back then, it was really just an idea.
Hello, I'm Emmy DeGrappa. Each week, we bring you stories asking our guest the question, why? We learn about their passion, why they do what they do, why should we care, and what can we learn? What better place to explore the human landscape than from the state known for its incredible landscapes, Wyoming? And what better organization than Wyoming Humanities, serving our state for over 45 years? We share stories, ideas, and wisdom about the human experience. This is What's Your Why? Today, we are talking to Nona Yehia. She is an architect that pursues projects based on economic and social innovation. Nona is the co-founder, designer, and CEO of a cutting-edge greenhouse called Vertical Harvest. Welcome, Nona.
Thank you, Emmy. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I want to first talk to you about Vertical Harvest because it's such an interesting, beautiful project. And I want to know what inspired you to come up with the idea. Well, first of all, just describe the building itself, because I think that's hard for people to imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
and then tell us what your inspiration was.
Well, you know, just to start with your second question, I've always believed that architecture can be the vehicle for social change. So that, you know, architecture means something. It's a reflection of our community values. It can drive our community values. And so I've always looked for projects, and you know, they're hard to come by, but I've always looked for projects that can have that meaning embedded in them. And so Vertical Harvest is an effort that's based on two very specific needs in our community. One is that we have a four-month growing season. Talking to you on a very cold day, that is something that we all are very aware of, and that we import all of our food. So that really, I mean, outside of that four-month growing season, we have some amazing farmers here in Idaho and Wyoming, but they don't do a dent in the demand for local, fresh, nutritious food. So that was the first need that Vertical Harvest was conceived around. And the second one was that we have a very high unemployment rate for people with physical and intellectual disabilities in Jackson and in Teton County. And that's actually pretty equivalent to the unemployment rate nationally. And so by growing food in our town, we wanted to create consistent, meaningful jobs for this population. And we did that by taking a very small piece of land located on the southern edge of our parking structure here in our downtown core. And it was a tenth of an acre. And we said, how can we produce as much food as possible, employ as many people as possible, and do both year round? That was very important to us. And that's where the inception of the idea to go up came from. So Vertical Harvest is a three-story hydroponic farm that grows food year round and employs 18 people with what we call different abilities.
What gave you the idea that that space would work?
Well, it was a total evolution. You know, Jackson, while being a rural community, really operates as an urban one because of the presence of the national park, right? So not much of our land, private or public, is developable. So Penny McBride, my co-founder, and I had gone on a long search to try and find a piece of property that might be appropriate for a greenhouse. And we were really looking outside of the box. You know, we worked with Bob Arndt, who is the first owner of the Jackson Hole Grocer, talking to him about whether it could exist on top of what is Lucky's now. Luckily, we didn't do that, seeing the structural integrity of that complex. But we also, you know, looked in a lot of different areas, and a town councilman at the time was aware of our search And he showed us the piece of property that Vertical Harvest exists on now. Like I said, it's a tenth of an acre. It's 30 feet wide by 150 feet long. And I think that town councilman thought we'd put a hoop house up. We might extend the growing season a month on either end and employ a few people. But I think it was, you know, my confidence as an architect to be able to push the boundaries of space and that what's possible that gave us as a team the confidence to say, let's see how far we can push this. And at that time, that was about 10 years ago, vertical farming was a concept. It was really not what it is today. Vertical farming now is the fastest growing industry in agriculture. But back then, it was really just an idea, just that. And so the first thing we did is we Googled vertical farming and we saw what people have dreamed up. And we really embarked on making that idea a reality. So this town-owned piece of property was really our best bet because the town was going to put out a request for proposal about ideas to have a project on there that had a lot of community impact. And so we knew we had to really try to get as much impact out of it as we could. And that's what drove the design, which I love that.
Yes, I do too. And I love that you had a long vision.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just about, it was just like, what makes it better? What impacts my community? How does it make a difference? And then what was your desire to involve the Community Entry Services, CES?
Well, so Caroline Croft is our other co-founder, and she had been working in the community for about 16 years with many clients with physical and intellectual disabilities. And so she was having a very hard time finding consistent, meaningful employment. So people were bagging groceries, they were washing dishes, cleaning hotel rooms. And, you know, we all have to start somewhere, but the difference is they weren't able to move forward in their careers or be able to develop in their professional lives. And at the same time, she was piecing jobs together. So 3 hours here, you know, 2 hours there. And not, you know, the experience wasn't rewarding for her or her clients. And so she approached Penny and I and said, if you ever get this greenhouse off the ground, would you think about working with me to figure out how we could employ people with disabilities? And I have a brother who has developmental disabilities. And so he's probably given me most of the gifts that I'm honored enough to have. And he, you know, growing up, I was very cognizant of our ability since the 70s. I was very involved with his schooling. And I every summer worked at his summer camps and worked after school with this population. And I saw firsthand the developments that we undertook in terms of education and the nurturing environment that we developed and the inclusive environment that we started developing in this country, which I was very happy to see. But then when it comes time to employment, really families are on their own. One of our parents in Vertical Harvest call it falling off a cliff. You know, the opportunities are few and not very quality opportunities. And so, you know, my brother right now works in a sheltered workshop where he's sorting screws. And I always knew that there would be more for people like him. And so I think that's when I really, when Caroline started talking to us about her effort to find consistent, meaningful work for this group of people, that's when my passion really, I mean, I couldn't let it go. Come hell or high water, we were going to make this project happen.
Well, it struck a passionate chord in your heart, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that has been the thing that I know our team is proudest of. In the 3 years that we've been open, the level of empowerment for not only people with disabilities, but the whole team, that what an inclusive, diversified employment culture can afford everyone, that has been the greatest joy of the greenhouse.
Now, was your brother Down syndrome, or what was his disability?
There's nothing that's well classified. He just was a preemie. And when my mom had him, he had been deprived of oxygen in the womb. And then when he was born, it was in the 70s where also we were over oxygenating babies. And so he got over oxygenated. And so he had kind of a double whammy. So it's nothing, you know, he has a little bit of everything.
Oh, wow. How old is he now?
He's now 46.
And so a lot of the people that are employed by Vertical Harvest, they receive a paycheck. Mm-hmm. And do they have the ability to live in a home on their own, or do they live in group homes?
Well, it's across the board. So Ty Werner, he is a homeowner. A lot of our employees live independently, whether they rent or own. And I think in terms of that paycheck that you're talking about, this is about competitive employment, right? So two of our employees started at entry level jobs in the greenhouse, and now they're senior associates. So they've been promoted and given raises, you know, as our managers. I mean, this is so new that we have all learned together, and we've been able to adapt jobs to specific people and, really develop people towards different jobs and their interests. And that goes across the board. I mean, you know, we've shifted everyone around. So everybody has tried to be able to match their strengths to the different careers that are available in the greenhouse, which there are many, which is what's cool about it as well.
Now that must be a joy, though.
Yeah, it really is.
What are some of the challenges, though, in making this happen and working with people who are, like you said, differently abled?
Well, I think the biggest challenge for us is that there was no rule book, no playbook to go by. We're constantly striving to determine and document best practices, and those best practices continue to evolve because we're learning. And so I think the biggest challenge is being patient enough with ourselves to be able to look back and realize how much we've grown, but also to learn from our mistakes and not get disheartened by them, because we've made a lot of mistakes. And so at a certain point, the group feels confident enough where they're like, well, we shouldn't be making mistakes anymore. And so that's just not true. And so to be able to reassure the team that, you know, this is we're a farm, and we're a farm that has very different work culture than other farms. And so I think that is, you know, this innovation, it's a constant effort to be able to not fall back on what you know and constantly evolve. And that is, it can be exhausting, but it can be very rewarding as well. And I think that's where we all come out on the other end of it. It's been a really rewarding experience for the whole team.
Oh, I'm sure. And have you inspired other communities across the United States or even the world? I mean, such a great... Do they come to you and say, how did you do it?
Yes. Every week we get a different request for a community who wants to replicate the impact that we've had here in Jackson elsewhere. And so that has been a trick to manage that. And, you know, it was a long process. Like I said, I started working on this in 2009, so 10 years ago. I think LinkedIn actually told me 11 years ago at some point, but I stopped counting. And so, you know, obviously what we've learned, we can shrink that process, but we're very excited now. I mean, I think one of the reasons, as an architect by trade, one of the reasons, not only because of my passion for the project, but one of the main reasons I stayed on as CEO is I wanted to see, was this model scalable and replicable? And we have come to the point where we think indeed it is. And so we're working with 5 different groups right now to try to get projects off the ground. The one who's gotten the most traction is in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And it'll be a greenhouse 4 times the size of ours. And so imagine the impact that it can have. So expanding the box.
Well, when you say when they're going to replicate, I mean, not just the design, but also that they're employing people with disabilities.
So the Vertical Harvest brand is about growing food and futures. So it's people and food going hand in hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can see why it's a need in our community because we have 4 months of growing season, if that, right? Sometimes And so we just don't have the opportunity. But in other places, you know, like, did you say Pennsylvania?
I did.
So they have a year-round growing season. What is their community need? Is it because of the fact that you employ people with disability, or is there a farming, you know?
Well, Lancaster is in kind of the heart of the Fertile Crescent, right, of American farming.
Right.
And so what was really interesting is Lancaster is an urban environment. It's a town that has had a rich history, and the urban core is kind of divorced from the agricultural history that surrounds it. So the group that reached out to us, it was called the Lancaster Urban Farming Initiative, was trying to bring the importance and the connection back to farming and farmers into the city. And so they were looking at figuring out how to marry schools and greenhouses and, you know, different anchor institutions with greenhouses. And I guess they went to the mayor with a couple of their proposals, and the mayor was aware of our project and, you know, went to our website and turned around his computer and said, if you guys can build this, I'll make this happen. And so, you know, I think that what I've learned is that stakeholders in Lancaster want to show that they're on the forefront of all forms of farming, right? And that it takes all, that farming has the ability to connect people to what's important, right? To them, to themselves, to their families, to how we exist on this planet. And so farming can take all sorts of different, you know, forms. And so bringing something that's on the cutting edge of farming and honoring that as being leaders in this agricultural industry is something I think that was very attractive to this group. So also bringing back just the fact that, you know, there's a full functioning commercial farm in the heart of a downtown core.
And I think that would make sense to me. And there's so much cement.
Yes.
You know, of course, not in Wyoming, but
yeah.
But in all those urban places where kids never get to really see that, they never get to be outside in that way or get to be part of growing something, you know, and I think that is so remarkable.
And that is, you know, we call Vertical Harvest a community impact model. So, you know, we try to, like we said at the beginning here, maximize impact in all its forms, wellness, education about farming, and empowerment through employment. So it's exciting to see how far you can push that. I had the opportunity yesterday to learn about a beautiful working farm in Vermont called Shelburne Farms, and you know, the full circle nature of it, the way, you know, they could bring people to learn about farming and have them exist on the land, and how people were so excited to experience that. And where we were very similar is that people feel that same way when they come into Vertical Harvest. You know, we have kids who have toured who are bringing their parents into the greenhouse and showing them their favorite microgreen, you know, and I've had many parents who have told me that now their kids will only eat Vertical Harvest salad, but they're okay with that because before that they weren't eating any salad.
That's funny. What was your journey to Jackson? Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Michigan and outside of Detroit, and I met my husband there when we were very young, and we were best friends growing up and started dating right at the end of our high school career. And kind of split up going into college, but then would always come back together. And my husband was always a mountain man, or dreamt of being a mountain man, and I was always the urban girl, or dreaming of being the urban girl. And so I managed to find my way to New York and go to graduate school in New York. And that's where I thought I would live the rest of my days. But my husband introduced me to this magical place, and he did it right. He, for the first time, you know, I had been to California, I'd been, you know, places in Europe, but I had never been to the Rockies. And so being from Michigan, he took me over Togedy Pass, and I'd never seen anything like it. And I think that was love at first sight for sure. And so we started doing the things that you do here, climbing, you know, the Grand and exploring. And I felt that it was a landscape that was that could rival and maybe even outcompete with New York in terms of adventure and exploration. And so we lived in New York for 10 years because we were married. We weren't married young, but we were married before any of my other friends were married. And we had our first son, Wyatt. And New York changed after having Wyatt. And so we thought, well, we love this place, Jackson Hole. Let's go try it for a bit. I had an opportunity to build a house out here. We thought we'd stay for 2 years. And I have a little bit of a change of scenery, but it's 15 years later and we've never gone back.
Oh, wow. And have you seen, have you traveled around the rest of Wyoming?
I have quite a bit.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love to hear that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Vertical Harvest necessitated that because it was supported by the Wyoming Business Council. So we did a lot of lobbying. My husband and I, that we like to drive, we like to explore, we like to see different, you know, contexts and environments. And so Wyoming's just
full of that.
Full of that.
Yeah. Beautiful landscapes everywhere.
Amazing.
Well, thank you for being here, Nona.
Thank you, Emmy.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of What's Your Why, a production of Think Why, Wyoming Humanities. This has been executive producer Emmy DeGrappa. Please subscribe and never miss a show. For more information, go to thinkwhy.org.